thank you very much. It's a great opportunity, not just to share our projects, our initiatives, our ideas, but also to learn and to be inspired like by people like Ali. So thank you very much. And I think it's very related to what Ali was saying before. I want to share with you the anti-rumors strategy. What is this anti-rumors strategy concept and idea? We moved back 10 years ago. I was commissioner for immigration. And we had to design an intercultural strategy to really to see how we wanted to live in a much diverse city. So we launched a participative process and we asked some questions. One of them was what were the factors that were hindering a more positive interaction among people from different backgrounds, profiles, etc. We make this question to very diverse profile of people in the city, and we got answers. And of course, when we ask what makes more difficult to have a more positive interaction among people, not speaking the same language is obviously an issue. But what was really important was that the most relevant answer was pointing out the influence of prejudices and stereotypes, and let's say ignorance, on hindering this positive interaction. And we realized from a public policy perspective, because I was at that time working at the city, we realized we didn't really put that topic at the top of the agenda. I mean, on all the integration policies, in all the intercultural policies, we were focusing a lot on in different elements of the integration. But the idea of the prejudices and the stereotypes, that was 10 years ago, before the post-truth and the fake news thing. And we decided that it was really important to launch like a strategy at the city level to really challenge those stereotypes, prejudices. And we used the concept of the rumors, because one of the weaknesses that we identify on some anti-racist plans or strategies was that many people don't consider themselves as being racist. We usually don't consider ourselves being racist, even those with the best of wills and etc. We think we are not racist. So people, when they saw like an anti-racist campaign, they say, okay, yeah, that's cool. I'm anti-racist as well, so let's move on. So I don't pay attention to those messages. But when we start talking about prejudice and stereotypes, and we use the rumor saying, have you heard sometimes the rumor that migrants are taking our jobs, or that migrants are getting all the social benefits, or collapsing the health system, or blah, 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 or about specific groups? Many people were like, yeah, I've heard that sometimes, and maybe I've been part at some part of that rumor. So then we realized people were more open to talk about complex issues like prejudices, stereotypes, identities, when we use the rumor concept. That's why we start saying, okay, but if we want to challenge prejudices and stereotypes, we need to focus on how can we do that? I mean, this is not easy. And we start like doing a lot of research and checking previous experiences in the whole world. And I would say we realized a few things. And the first one, we don't change our minds just because we get some rational or objective data. So the anti-rumors couldn't be just a kind of a communication campaign spreading objective data about, you know, issues that dismantle those rumors, because those rumors were based on prejudices and stereotypes, and their roots are much more complex and multidimensional. They have roots on the emotions, on the social, on the cognitive as well. So we need a much more complex approach if we really want to have any impact. At the same time, this wasn't just an anti-racist strategy, because we were designing this under the umbrella of the intercultural approach with three main principles: promoting equality, the recognition of diversity, and promoting positive interaction. And that was a crucial issue. So We wanted just to prevent discrimination and racism, but we also want to make the most of diversity. Prejudices are not just relevant, of course, and mainly because they may infer a lot of pain to those who are discriminated and those who are treating them very unfair. But at the same time, from a society point of view, they also mean that we are losing, we are missing a lot of opportunities that brings diversity when it's lived in a much more constructive and positive way. So when we start the anti-rumors, the design, we say, okay, if we know that we need to deal with emotional dimension, with the cognitive, with the social aspects that explains why do we have these prejudices here. And one of the first thing was like, okay, we need to assume that we all have. So this wasn't, the target was not just the major, the let's say the really racist people who are proud to be racist. This was more targeting a more social majority with ambivalence and ambiguity emotions with diversity. And we could include almost all of us in this thing. I realize many of the, even people from the activism, from some NGOs or pro-migration, at the same time, when we talk about other groups, they had their own prejudices or prejudices with the public administration or with some other areas of the society. So what we realized was that the main goal was not just focusing on one rumor and trying to dismantle that rumor. It was more a kind of empowering thing. So recognizing that we all have these prejudices, of course, there are different levels, but we need to promote more the critical thinking just to prevent when these rumors are spread, so people can think twice before they repeat them or they believe. This is very complicated because we know that our brain cheat us, and our psychology means that we pay attention in reality to those things that confirm our ideas. So when we see something that contradicts our ideas, we tend to refuse, to ignore, or just to don't remember them. But we just focus, pay our attention to those things that we think confirm our preconceived ideas. Also, just confirming our previous ideas makes us feel good. This is some, you know, psychological issues inside, and also promote our cohesion with the group. That's why social media, it hasn't such an impact on this dissemination of fake news and rumors and prejudices, because people feel good when they share with their own group some ideas that confirm, you know, these previous ideas. That makes very complicated in a context in which polarization it's so big, you know, to try to strategy. The first one, if we want to have any impact, this is of course a long-term thing, and we are thinking in a city level. It cannot be just a 6 months campaign or 1 year. It has to be a very long, long strategy. The work that has to be done is very in the daily life of many people in being involved in this. The second one, political commitment and consensus. We do this in those cities in which at least there is some political commitment about these topics. I'm not saying there are a lot of people doing anti-rumors and amazing work in cities in which the political representatives are not committed to this. Of course, there is a lot of need to do that. But this methodology requires a combination of a public policy with a political commitment and a social movement of people from the civil society and citizens that really want to contribute to this main goal, you know, in a proactive way. So this is the third element, the social engagement and participation of many different actors and profiles. The fourth, this idea of seducing the ambivalent majority. This is not blaming people for having prejudices. It's more trying to seduce them to think about the negative consequences that have our prejudices and our stereotypes that we many times are not aware at all. So it's not like, oh, you are a racist, you bad person. No, like, hey, have you felt sometimes being a stereotype in a negative way? How could you feel if you feel like this almost every day to be more useful to attract many people of these projects? The creativity and innovation is also a very crucial point of this strategy because it requires a lot of creativity to reach different audiences and not just those who are already sensibilized, and also to keep an innovation on different ways to reach different areas of society, like education, culture, sports, but also the economic sector and employment, public institutions, local police. We know prejudices are all around, but there are some areas in which if we can make some change, the impact in terms of the global society, it's more relevant. Rigor, we need impact. We need to know what we're doing, because we've seen many times that with the best of the wills, sometimes we can even make things worse. So it's very important that we understand the nature and how prejudices and stereotypes are created, and what are the most effective strategies to try to challenge them. And sustainability, this is not a long-term thing. In Barcelona, there's been 3 changes of government. And since then, this strategy, it kept, you know, working and launching and enriching. Otherwise, there's no way. Okay, in a city, when we start doing this, you need to do a diagnosis, you need to identify some priorities, and we build a network of a lot of people. In Barcelona, there's more than 600 organizations, public libraries, museums, municipal services, migrants associations, and schools, universities that are involved on the anti-rumors network. We train what we call anti-rumor agents, people who really want to deep their knowledge on how to challenge in a more effective way the prejudices and the stereotypes on their daily life, but also on their jobs, on their organizations, etc. And then we implement, of course, anti-rumors actions, campaigns, and evaluation. I'm just going to have like a very brief vision of some examples. I mean, communication, it's not the best tool just to try to dismantle this, because we know that even, you know, I always put the example of my mom. When my mom says, listen, Danny, when I was commissioner, it's very good this job you're doing, but, you know, now that we have an economic crisis, when some of these migrants came and they're getting all the social benefits, maybe it's not sustainable, this thing. And if I just tell her, like, listen, I can give you the reality, the fact, there's only 13% of migrants' families getting this kind of social benefit that you're referring to, like the food grants in the schools. If I just give her like a statistic number, my mom is not going to change and say, oh, sorry, thank you, Danny, for this information. Now I think this is no problem with that. This is not going to change. So communication is not just the only, but communication, it can be very important to build an identity, a city identity, in which many different actors, not just the political dimension, but just a lot of people from the education, organizations, etc., are involved. So an attractive communication can be important. Being present in many areas of society, institutional events, publics, being visible, and people can go there and can get information. Materials and resources that we use and the cities use on the anti-rumors strategies, from working with local artists with cartoons, APPs, Photoshop, and videos, etc., etc., just to attract people, to pay attention. This is not just about changing the perspectives, but really making some noise. Attracting new allies. This is how the theater school in Bilbao, this is Germany, this group of people from the Siemens company who decide to join the anti-rumors strategy of the city. These are, of course, football, soccer teams in different cities. These are in Portugal, hip-hop singers being involved on the network. Promoting knowledge and critical thinking. How can we promote all kind of training, formal, informal? Here there are parks in Montreal. These are prisons in Patras in Greece. These are in Andalusia. This is materials that they were distributed even in restaurants, in shops, and all kind of information and training about. Then going where people are. This is in Sweden, in Greece. There are more than 35 cities that have been implementing anti-rumors strategies. And I would like to say that this is a strategy with a very flexible methodology. Each city decides its priorities from the diagnostic. You know, it's not the same in not just in every country, but in each city in every country. Of course, there are, let's say, some universal prejudices and rumors, but then there are much more local ones. So each city has to decide what is more relevant to put their focus on. But in terms of getting the attraction of people, there are this creativity I was talking before. This is, for example, in Tenerife in Spain. These people realized there were a lot of rumors in hospitals about, you know, migrants, minorities, etc. So some of the directors of the hospitals, they were really agree and they were interested to joining the strategy. So they allow, for example, some space. This was more a kind of humor, attention strategy action, and in which some anti-rumor agents, they did some tests to patients or relatives that were in the hospital about some issues about diversity. And they had some results in terms of the level of rumors and prejudices. And they gave them some anti-rumors pills, which were some sweets and with some information about, you know, the strategy and some data and some information. That was all the media was really in love of this kind of action. So even if the action itself didn't really change, you know, the minds of a lot of people, but it was very useful and very cheap. They were voluntary people doing this, all these kind of actions. And like the other one is a local supermarket and they invented the wheel of rumors. So people who were in the markets moving on, and they stopped by and they were asked to through the wheel, and the wheel just finished with one topic, one rumor, and they start a conversation about that just to open a dialogue with many different people about these topics. Okay. And there is also this spaces free of rumors in which like a school, a public library, a social service department, a small organization, they want to convert themselves in an anti-rumors, a space free of rumors, in which all the professionals got trained, all the communication has been, you know, reviewed, and they have to show this commitment into society to become a space free of rumors. And also just want to finish with three comments. One is the importance to keep the light alive. We know how many projects they start with very like passion and a lot of energies, but after a while, of course, these things just go sometimes get a bit more relaxed and people get more about like comfortable, or it becomes like a project that has to be managed all the time, in which the room for creativity and innovation maybe at the beginning was really high, but then it's more complicated. So that's why we really promote within the whole strategy spaces in which people from different backgrounds, areas can spend some time brainstorming on new ways. Like this is, for example, a kind of co-working place in Barcelona in which people from virtual reality, intelligence, artificial, and different, more from the techie world, they were with social activists deciding how they could make, you know, an advantage of their collaboration to promote these challenging prejudices in the schools in the city. And with other level of governments, this is like regional and national, and also with many actors of the civil society to get more influence. And just to finish, just to say that also what we create is a hub in which many different strategies in different cities, they have a space to share the ideas, the actions, so they get inspired and they can really benefit from some of the materials, resources, or know-how that has been, it's been accumulated among all the networks, and they organize some meeting about youth anti-rumor agents from different cities, or they just decide to make new materials and resources. So sorry, I think I'm talking too much. I stop here. Thank you very much.